texting today with Courtney Calley, senior economist for Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City. So we're talking about supply chain issues. And of course, they really intensified because of the pandemic, the Ukraine war. So give us kind of a status update right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I think, you know, things are not quite as dicey. I don't know that that's the best economic term. As bad as what they were coming out of the pandemic, we've, you know, rebalanced in some areas. I think that, you know, like I said in my presentation, inventories were tight and are still tight, which have kind of exacerbated some of these supply chain issues. But we're also starting to see, or we're starting to see some things abate. I think that the drought that we're experiencing this year and the prospect of reduced supplies, difficulty transporting barges is starting to make things a little, you know, go back in the wrong direction a bit. We had started to see some abatement, but I think that I am concerned that drought is starting to see some, you know, some greater disruptions in the supply chain and difficulty for producers.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the drought, because there's several things that people aren't really thinking of. You know, you mentioned the Mississippi River. Like, that may not be top of mind, but that's a big deal.
Yes, it is. So low levels on the river, just because of, you know, the accumulation of drought going back to June, not a lot of rain, not a lot of runoff. So, you know, you kind of work your way up the river, up those watersheds. And so just so much dryness contributing to lower levels, which has made barge traffic a lot more difficult. We're hearing reports of backlogs along the river, which ultimately can result in lower local prices upriver for producers for commodities that they're starting to harvest, so corn and soybeans. And because lower river levels makes it more expensive to transport those products down the river. So we are seeing higher prices at the Gulf port and lower prices locally because of that, you know, transportation premium that we're seeing as a result of drought.
And you're in Kansas, we're in Oklahoma, we're in the same kind of situation with drought. So it's really starting to reflect on our producers here too. You mentioned that in one of your slides.
That's right, yes. We are starting to see, and we have this Oklahoma Economist article on our Kansas City Fed website that's about this kind of divergence of the Oklahoma economy relative to other states in the region and to the downside. So kind of a slower, kind of steadier decline in, or I guess a greater decline in farm income compared to what we're seeing in other states, mostly attributed to the drought. Now, I think that kind of what Dr. Peel talked about cattle prices increasing, has likely helped producers in Oklahoma more recently, but the drought definitely causing kind of disproportionate effects in Oklahoma compared to other areas of the country.
So you mentioned you were talking today about the Russia-Ukraine war, but take us back a little bit to where this all kind of started back in 2019.
Yeah, so in 2019, the ag economy was coming out of a kind of 6 or 7 year downturn. Coming into 2020, we were expecting another year of low commodity prices, low farm income, lower working capital. And then the pandemic hit in February, March, causing widespread disruptions across all commodities. So particularly those for meat, but also consumer spending changed rapidly from restaurants more to grocery stores, and ethanol production declined because of lack of demand. People weren't driving. And so we really started to work our way back from that. I think in the second half of 2020, commodity prices for really everything but cattle increased pretty rapidly as economies were bouncing back from the effects of the pandemic. Demand increased for agricultural products. But it's just that supply has been really slow to recover and to catch up. And so even leading up to Russia-Ukraine war, we were still seeing demand for agriculture and food products outpace supply, which was causing a lot of imbalances in the system and some higher prices and inflation for producers, but also for consumers.
And cattle producers still kind of battling that. They're kind of struggling to recover.
Yes, that's right. So still struggling to recover. One thing I didn't talk a lot about was labor tightness through the supply chain. When you think about the prices consumers pay for food, a big chunk of that comes from labor in the supply chain. And I think that we've seen a lot of pressure in that category, and how that affects cattle producers is if packing plants aren't able to run at full capacity because they can't find the labor, then that just reduces the demand that they have for cattle from producers, especially when we're in an environment where producers may be looking to reduce herd sizes or liquidate just because feed is really expensive and really hard to come by.
And you also mentioned fertilizer. That's on a lot of topic of ag producers' minds because it just kept going and going and going.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Fertilizer prices. I mentioned that a term we use is in the data, when the data looks like a hockey puck, that is very concerning for those that have to pay those prices. I know that producers are smart. A lot of them had already had their prices locked in for fertilizer in 2022. And so we knew that, 2023 might have been the greater concern if they didn't have those prices locked in. But then with some of the weather disruptions that we have, Russia invaded Ukraine. I mean, we were even seeing supply shortages. So even if you had that fertilizer, you wanted to make sure you had it on your farm, not just contracted in, because it might not have even been there, if you didn't have possession of it. And so I know that producers were really, really experiencing a lot of difficulties on the fertilizer side. And that's also one area that moving forward, we have a lot of concerns because with Europe, Russia being a major fertilizer producer and producer of fertilizer inputs, those inputs are going to go to the highest need first, which is heating people's homes in the winter. So we do have concerns about maybe some fertilizer plants shutting down overseas and what that might look like in terms of supply for fertilizer going into the next planting season.
Well, so let's look at 2023. What are we looking at here?
Yes, so that's a good question. In 2023, I'll just piggyback a lot of off of what Dr. Pill talked about. I think that particularly, I know that cattle markets make up a large share of the agricultural economy in Oklahoma. So we're looking at, I think, much higher cattle prices, which is a good sign for those producers that are able to, as he said, be creative and hang on to their cattle. I think that's a positive. But I think in 2023, a big thing I'm going to be looking at is, can we break this La Nina cycle that we've been in? And the weather, we've been in 3 years of La Nina. The last time that happened was in the 1950s, the Dust Bowl period. We had 11 La Ninas in a row. So we just really need this kind of climate weather cycle to break and to hopefully have better weather in 2023. Otherwise, I think that it could get really concerning, particularly in the state of Oklahoma.
We're still praying for rain. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.